You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor. Authorities say it's nothing short of a miracle that a 7-year-old girl walked away from a plane crash that killed 4 family members in western Kentucky. Investigators say the girl's parents, sister, and cousin died in the crash. State police say a 911 operator received a call Friday evening from a man who said the young girl had walked to his home from the crash site. The Boston Marathon bombing suspect goes on trial today. Jury selection is set to begin in the capital murder trial of Johar Tsarnaev. The 21-year-old Chechen immigrant is charged with killing 3 people and injuring more than 260 others with a pair of homemade bombs on April 15, 2013. The first full week of the new year finds millions of Americans shivering in this year's coldest weather so far. For many, today's bone-chilling cold isn't going to let up later this week. A winter storm is moving a more than 1,000-mile-long ribbon of snow across the country. These and other headlines can be found at usaheadlinenews.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Linda. Have you been working out?
I've been shopping at Rite Aid.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. You can earn all these great rewards just by shopping. I got dance fitness sessions.
Rewards for shopping. Happy Me Year.
It's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from bowling to exercise classes to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through January 24th. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See riteaid.com/youyear for details.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
Afghanistan's president says the U.S. might want to re-examine its plan to withdraw troops from his nation. Ashraf Ghani tells CBS 60 Minutes the timetable to withdraw U.S.-led coalition troops by the end of 2016 should be fluid.
Deadlines concentrate the mind, but deadlines should not be dogmas.
He went on to say that if the multiple parties involved have done their best to achieve objectives and there is real progress, then there should be a willingness to re-examine a deadline. When asked if he's told that to President Obama, Ghani said, quote, "President Obama knows me. We don't need to tell each other."
If both parties, or in this case, multiple partners, have done their best to achieve the objectives and progress is very real, then there should be willingness to re-examine a deadline.
British Prime Minister David Cameron says his relationship with President Obama is so tight that the two consider each other, quote, "bros." Cameron said that when the commander-in-chief calls up Downing Street, he sometimes calls me bro. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hey, listen, I have my own business. Can you help me get my name out there?
I'm on it.
You can print my name on anything?
On it. Your name on business cards, on pens, brochures, banners, t-shirts, signs.
Go on.
On hats, mugs, magnets, calendars, keychains, tote bags.
On tote bags?
Totes.
Can I do it on budget?
On it.
I'm sold. Hey, are you ever not on?
Only on my days off.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Get 20% off any copy and print order of $50 or more.
Offer valid in-store and online ends 1/31/15. Excludes self-serve copying and faxing, computer rentals, and outsourced print services. Discount applied before taxes may not be combined with any other offer.
A television network has received an award of excellence for its family-friendly programming. USA's Russ Jones explains.
The UPTV network has been honored again by the Parents Television Council with a seal of approval for its program, Bringing Up Bates. Melissa Henson of the Parents Television Council.
If we give a program seal of approval, it means that you can rely on the fact that there is not going to be a lot of sex violence or profanity on the program, that it is something that you can watch with your kids in the room, and you don't have to worry about being embarrassed or caught off guard by inappropriate content.
Bringing Up Bates is the story of Gil and Kelly Joe that includes their 19 children, ages 2 through 25. Henson says it's not always that way when a TV program is described as being about families.
You expect that if it's about a family, it's going to be something you can watch with your family. That's generally not the case, but fortunately it is the case with Bringing Up Bates.
Henson believes the best way for viewers to express their concerns or their complaints about TV content is to let advertisers know their thoughts. I'm Russ Jones.
Speaker of the House John Boehner is being challenged by members of his own party in his bid to keep his post. Representatives Louis Gohmert of Texas and Ted Yoho of Florida both announced that they too are running for House Speaker. Both cite Boehner's failure to fight President Obama on amnesty for undocumented immigrants as a big reason why a change of leadership is needed. The election is Tuesday when Congress convenes. These and other headlines can be found at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Local weather at hunterdonchamberradio.com. Today, mostly sunny, high near 36, breezy with a west wind 22-25 miles per hour. Tonight, slight chance of snow after 4 in the morning. Tuesday, snow mainly before 3 p.m. Otherwise, high near 27. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, low around 19. Wednesday, slight chance of snow showers. Partly sunny, high near 26. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low around 7. Blustery winds, that's when the cold's going to really hit Wednesday night. High in the 20s on Thursday. Thursday night, low in the teens. Friday, partly sunny. High towards 30, and then clear Friday night. Low back in the teens, and so far clear for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Chef Jake's locally here in Flemington. Get together every Monday to talk about food, upcoming events, beverages, anything else that might catch our fancy. So, the new year started. 2015. Hope everybody had a great holiday season and now look forward to another year of opportunities, hopefully. And if you've made any resolutions, good luck. So we'll start of a new year. I thought with the show or our conversations every week at the table that we ran through the vegetables A to Z, and I'd like to kind of talk about culinary terms or even menu terms. Sometimes there's terminology that people aren't familiar with on menus, and it kind of misleads them maybe into expecting something that comes out maybe a little bit different, or maybe just to brush up on techniques kitchen utensils. And also, I didn't realize, of course, it makes sense that every day of the year it's a national something or other day. And I'm sure it's not just with food. There's probably other things, too. A lot of people celebrate, of course, birthdays, events, things like that that happened. I thought it's kind of neat to look into some of the food things. Some of them are fairly obvious and some are a little obscure, but nonetheless gives us kind of a springboard for conversation. Or maybe if it's something that we haven't tried before, give us a chance to check it out. Almost something to look forward to. Maybe if you need help planning a menu or something, sometimes an idea or what to make for dinner, and you can find out, for instance, this week, the 6th, tomorrow, is National Bean Day, meaning the dried beans. So you may want to make something as simple as a chili with beans or a vegetarian chili, or go all the way. I mean, my favorite would be, of course, a cassoulet, the braised white beans with the various meats in them, duck confit, pork, lamb if you like, some unsmoked or smoked bacon, sausages. And the cassoulet could be fairly simple. There's many recipes. In fact, in France, the different regions argue about which is the correct way. But it could be something as simple as some beans with some ham and some sausage in it, or you could just do it with poultry. Even with seafood, if you like. You know, in Italian cuisine, a lot of times the white beans and some seafood are put together, and that wouldn't be a bad take on it either. But National Bean Day tomorrow, if you're looking for something to do, either get some nice dried beans or canned if you need to cut a little bit of the thyme. But beans are always good to have on hand. For full of protein, if you want to a break from the meats, you want to go a little vegetarian, especially black beans add a lot of flavor to things. The 7th is Tempura Day, which we may discuss a variation of today. The 9th is Apricot Day, which we'll definitely talk about today. I think apricots are neat. You always liked them as a kid. We always had them canned, of course, but apricots are represented in many cultures and cuisines. But today, the 5th is National Whipped Cream Day. Who knew? Who figured whipped cream would have a day of its own? Of course, we all enjoy it with desserts. I guess it came about because it was the birthday of Aaron Lapin, who was the founder of Ready Whip. So I think that's where this food holiday originated. It was his birthday. It was January 5th, and he grew up to put the whipped cream in the can. Of course, it has the nitrous oxide. You can get many variations of it. Some will say real creams. A lot of times it's emulsifiers and non-fat dry milk. And, you know, again, price usually follows quality on these things. And then there's a lot of people use the Cool Whip that comes in a tub, which, it is what it is. Not really going to comment. We like the schlag that is served at Peter Luger's. You order desserts, and even if the desserts say, for instance, I had an apple strudel, and even though it's got a little bit of the whipped cream on it, they bring you a bowl of whipped cream, or what they call a slog, and it's not whipped real stiff like it comes out of the can there. The nice thing about doing your own is you can have soft peaks, you can whip it firmly. We like it just a little bit, so it's got a little fluff to it, but you can almost ladle it, that lightly whipped cream. We're up against the quarter hour. We'll come back and start talking about apricots, maybe some apples, kitchen equipment, apple core, cooking term, aerating, which ties in kind of with the whipped cream. And also aging. What does it mean when we see aging or dry aged on the menu? Chef Bill's Table.
Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a
friend. This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, going through some little variety of subjects that somehow I'll tie in. It's sometimes I start thinking about what to do. For instance, even food holidays, cooking terms or culinary terms, menu terms, al dente. Most people, I think, know what that means. And, of course, yesterday, oddly enough, was National Spaghetti Day. Only spaghetti, not the other pastas. Spaghetti has its own day. But al dente refers to the tooth, just a little bit firm. Now, it doesn't mean that it's severely undercooked pasta. It means that there's a slight resistance in the middle. It shouldn't still be crunchy. And really only attainable with dry pasta. And what you want to do with al dente is undercook, if the whatever the package instructions are, it gives you a little range. Go to the lower side of the range because you can always cook it a little bit more in the sauce. But what you really don't want is fully cooked. Now, egg noodles or egg-based pasta, on the other hand, shouldn't really be raw tasting, shouldn't be really al dente. The eggs will give it enough strength, a little resilience, just even like egg noodles, that it will still be slightly chewy. It's never going to have really a firm center because the pasta is fresh. It never was dried out and got hard. So, but that's al dente. So, aerating. Aerate. To aerate means to add, introduce air into, or incorporate air into something. So obviously with our whipped cream, that's heavy cream with air whipped in. And you could do this with a whisk. You could do it with a stand mixer or even a hand mixer. And you do it with the whisk. Yes, it's a little bit of muscle power there. They have the advantage of being able to keep it nice and cold. You want the bowl chilled. Now, if you're using your stand mixer, of course, with the glass bowl or steel bowl, you can always put it in the freezer for a little while to get it cold. You want to keep the cream cold because if you recall, I don't know if anybody still recalls about making butter, when you churn the cream too long, you will end up getting butter. The fat will, if you've ever done that, if you've over-whipped cream, you'll see the little yellow globules of fat start to solidify and you have little lumps in there, and that's when you've gone too far. If that happens, best thing to do is just keep whipping it slowly and create your own butter, which would be a treat, making our own butter. I guess if the price of heavy cream isn't, you know, if butter goes high and the cream is a little bit less money, it probably would be worthwhile, but that would be a way to do something neat homemade. So we aerate, whipping the cream, whipping egg whites. When we make a souffle, we make a mousse, or even tempura. Some tempura batters, although the simplest ones are just flour and club soda. You want the bubbles in there, and you want the batter to be ice cold. But some tempura batters will call for whipping egg whites and folding them back in, because they're very, very light, lacy coating. If you're doing especially vegetables, good way to get kids to eat their vegetables, by the way, is to tempura them, fry them. I guess you fry anything, it tastes good, but the coating is so light and it will protect the fat from going into the vegetables that might be worth trying. You know, tempura you do just a few at a time in the hot oil, but thing is you can do them a little bit ahead and keep them warm in a 150 to 160 degree oven.
Join the human race. Some things will never change. Son, you are mistaken. You are obsolete. Look at all the white men on the street.
Now, another term that comes up that we see is aging. And we see on a menu, our steaks are aged on premises or dry aged. Dry aged is the pinnacle, if you will, of aging meat. Now, some things don't do well with age. Obviously, it doesn't mean that just food gets old. It's not just a way for restaurants to say, well, I've got, you know, this meat's been hanging around for a while, and I'll call it aged and get more money for it. That's not really how it works. Aging process, it's very controlled process. The humidity is controlled. The sanitation has to be impeccable because you don't want any wrong bacteria growing or getting onto the meat. What happens is when meat is first harvested, let's use that nice word instead of some of the other terms, or poultry, it goes through a time, the rigor, when all the tissue firms up, and you have to let it sit for a little while and let things soften back up again. What the aging process does, there's enzymes that tenderize the meat. And the dry aging process, of course, with circulating air, you're also losing moisture. You could lose 10-15% of the weight of the meat. Now, what you do is, when you're aging, of course, is huge cuts with the fat on them and everything. You don't want to age small pieces. You want the whole loin or the whole rib. And between that, you have the humidity controlled, you have the sanitation controlled. The meat does shrink up a little bit. And, of course, what that does, by removing the water, concentrates the beef flavor. You get a little bit of minerality there, and also makes it easier to char the steak or sear it on the outside. If you've ever tried to get a good sear on a steak, of course, we like the cast iron pan or a good hot grill or broiler, but oftentimes you'll see the water come out, and this is the result of what we call wet aging. What ends up happening was people, you know, the scientists figured out there was two things at work here. The enzymes that tenderize the meat are not necessarily the same ones that the bacteria that are on the outside of the meat. The outside was kind of an indicator that something was happening inside, but the two did not depend on each other. They just occurred at the same time. So the cryovac, you know, some people call it shrink wrap, but the cryovac's actually much stronger than that. It has to be virtually leak-proof. It can't be just like a regular plastic bag. And we found out that by aging the meat in the cryovac, the meat still got tender, and you did not lose all that water weight. Now, again, you're not going to have the exact same flavor, and of course, maybe not searing as well, but certainly saved a lot of money by not just letting all that water evaporate. Plus, it's a lot safer, too. The meat's sealed up. It can be shipped easier. It's very difficult now when we buy something ahead once a week and go shopping. You know, it's not like you're going out to the backyard or down the street to the butcher and just getting something off the hook. So it really has helped a lot, the wet aging. But that's, so somebody says aged on premises, it could be wet aging. And some steakhouses prefer that. And there's other ones that do the dry aging. Dry aging is very costly, expensive, and you've got to plan. You know, some chefs now, they're doing a 21-day or a 28 or a 37. They have different aging times on the product. And I guess the only thing, you know, I guess if you could compare the two side by side, it would help out. But I don't know if you'd, you know, if you just pick one, you know, if you're going to be able to tell appreciably the difference. But this seems to be a thing in the fancy steakhouses where they will put an age statement on. Now, aging's good on other things. Obviously, dried cheeses. Most cheeses will age well. And again, very sanitary environment because you don't want the wrong kind of bacteria getting into things or getting on things. But think of the great hard cheeses, the Parmigiano Reggiano, I'll buy an aged provolone, which is a lot different than the regular sliced provolone that you see in the store. It's got, gets kind of a rind on it, gets a little bit more flavor to it. Wines, of course, benefit from aging. Whiskies, rums, any spirits like that. And then your hams, especially your unsmoked hams, prosciutto, for example. The ham is cured, which is in the salt and nitrate solution, or nitrites, to give it the pink color. And then it's hung to dry, and you need circulating air and proper temperature and humidity, again, to make this safe. Now, something you can relate to, though, is aging. Did you know that potatoes can be aged? Yes. I guess, have you ever seen potato chips that kind of dark in the center and then lighter toward the outside? Or if you've made potato chips at home or even french fries at home, have you noticed, they got dark pretty quickly? That's because potatoes have, first of all, they have a lot of water in them, but they also, when they're harvested, they have a fair amount of sugar. And what you need to do is make sure that these potatoes that have that sugar content, Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's franchises, was credited with this. In fact, they used to call it Potatoes Raymond, where you realize the french fries, the potatoes, you know, you need a good Idaho potato. They check the water content, make sure they're around 80%, not more than 80% water. And then the potatoes are actually aged in about 68 degrees, I believe, for around 3.5 weeks. And you need a fan, you need moving air. And what that does is convert the sugars back to starch. So you get that nice, lighter colored french fry or potato chip. So if you're using potatoes for fries, don't keep them in the refrigerator. Let them sit. And of course, they need darkness too. You don't let them in the light. You don't want that green skin on the outside there. But age your potatoes, and even for baked potatoes, you know, if you keep them cold, they'll taste good. They got good sugars in them, but what you really want is that dry, starchy potato for your fries. So aging, good with steaks, maybe not good with lettuce, great with cheeses and sausages, wines, and also if you're French fries, to get them nice and white, try aging your potatoes. We've got a break for news and weather. We'll be back at the table.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. President Obama is back in Washington following his Hawaiian vacation, and Congress reconvenes tomorrow with the new members being sworn in to give Republicans control over the House and the Senate. The top priority for the GOP is the Keystone XL pipeline. AP correspondent Diane Kepley reports.
Approval of the Keystone XL pipeline is one item that Republican leaders like Senator John Thune believe can produce enough votes to override any potential presidential veto.
It's going to be up to a lot of those Democrats who have expressed support for this in the past.
Thune says he's also open to an increase in the federal gas tax. He was joined on Fox News Sunday by fellow Republican Bob Corker, who says the president's Cuba policy will be questioned.
The first thing we want to do is understand what behavioral change Cuba is willing to make.
And Democratic Senator Bob Menendez tells CNN he believes it will be very difficult to confirm an ambassador to the communist country. Diane Kepley, Washington.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
What if I told you that you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. Diabetic99.com. People who have followed this plan at Diabetic99.com have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. Diabetic99.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. Diabetic99.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. Diabetic99.com gives you three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at Diabetic99.com. Watch for free at Diabetic99.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes medication. Go to Diabetic99.com.
All right, let's run down local weather here at 100chamberradio.com. It's in about 36 out there right now. That's supposedly the high today, sunny with a high around 36 tonight. Slight chance of snow after 4 a.m. Otherwise, cloudy, low in the teens. A little snow on Tuesday. Mainly before 3 in the afternoon, high near 27. Tuesday night, cloudy, low in the teens. Wednesday, slight chance of snow showers. Otherwise, partly sunny, high near 26. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low down in the single digits. That's going to be when the polar blast hits us, I guess. Thursday, sunny, high in the 20s. Thursday night, cloudy on the overnight with a low around 16. Friday, partly sunny, high near 29, and clear on Friday night. No real precipitation on the horizon for the weekend, at least from this point. Further north of us, of course, we're getting going to be quite a bit of snow coming, so we'll stay warm and dry. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Back at the table here, Chef Bill talking about several things beginning with the letter A. First show of the year, so that seemed kind of appropriate. Another A word. So we have Apricot Day on the 9th coming up. And apricots, of course, unless you live near where they're produced, it's tough to get good fresh ones. Very difficult to ship the ripe ones. They're very, very perishable, very fragile. And the shipping would probably cost more than the fruit by the time you nestle it into some nice, secure packaging. So for many of us, of course, we'll have apricot preserves, or we'll have dried apricots or canned apricots. And I remember having those as a youngster. We'd normally have some kind of fruit after for dessert. And oftentimes it was, you know, many times it was canned fruit, but it was still fruit. It was good. And you learn to appreciate many things. So the apricots, dried, used in many cuisines, Asian cuisines, Mid-Eastern cuisines, with savory dishes. And naturally we think of them with pork or poultry, lamb, dried apricots, always in play there. If you're even doing a dried fruit mix for a stuffing, apricots would probably be included. And you have to, you know, be a little cautious with them. So a lot of times the drying process is sped up. They'll say on the label sulfur dioxide added, which, you know, it helps speed up the process. Look for the all natural or one that maybe has taken a little bit longer to dry and not have too much of the sulfur in there. You don't want to interfere with that nice, intense fruit flavor. The apricot preserves, we always, if you do any kind of baking or glazing, that's one of the nice things to use, even, you know, as simple as glazing a cheesecake or coating things. Apricoting was this product we used to be able to buy commercially in a large can. It was a apricot-based glaze for things. Glazing, of course, pastries protects them. And when I used to put a topping on a cheesecake, for example, we'd warm up some of the apricot glaze and put it on there, and then you can be able to arrange some fresh fruit. It'll help it stick to the cheesecake, and then brush a little bit more on top to kind of protect the fruit. So apricot jam or preserves are nice, especially if they're nice and clear. Gives you a nice coating for things, or an ingredient, say in a you know, a sweet and sour sauce. But today with of course, with aerating, which we talked about, whipping, and apricots, we could make little apricot meringues. Meringues, of course, those little nice cookies that are slowly dried. You don't want to brown them too much. You want them to be nice and pale. That's the neat thing about a meringue. You can dry it out so it's nice and crunchy. Or you can blast it and caramelize it like we do on a baked Alaska or as a topping. So for this we need our oven about 225 degrees, fairly low oven. This takes some patience, but nice thing about meringues is, of course, if you're looking for gluten-free, great way to have cookies without any kind of flour in them. And they do last a long time once they're dried out. So if you have... let's say you start with 4 egg whites. A little pinch, when you're doing the egg whites, you want a little pinch of cream of tartar, which is acid, or a little pinch of salt that helps the whites get nice and white and fluffy. And then for this amount of whites, 3/4 cup of sugar, a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and then we'll have 4 ounces of dried apricots diced. And also about 1/4 cup of toasted slivered almonds. And toasting we do is either in the oven in a dry pan or on the stovetop. If you use the slivered or sliced, just heat it till they're pale brown and then remove them right from the pan, because that hot pan will keep, you don't want to over brown them. You don't want to burn them. And when you're dicing dried fruit, of course, it's kind of sticky and firm. And one of the neat things you can do is, if you have kitchen shears, is rub a little oil on the shears, or your knife, a little cooking oil, and that will help you kind of glide through the dried fruit better. You could just snip it in little pieces with the scissors if you want, or use a knife, but you want these to be diced up. So you whip the whites with about half the sugar or so. And you want to do that until it doesn't feel grainy anymore. You want to use that super fine sugar, that bar sugar, or I think they even now call it baking sugar. Not the confectioner's sugar. Confectioner's sugar is what you use in whipped cream. This is the super fine granular sugar. So you have most of the sugar whipped in, and then fold in the rest with the vanilla. And then you're going to fold in the dried apricots and the toasted slivered almonds. You drop these now, unlike most cookies that spread out when they bake, these will not spread out. So you, whatever shape you kind of put them on, you can pipe them with a larger star if you like, or just with two spoons, just drop them by tablespoons or teaspoons, however big you want to make them, and draw with the back of the spoon, just kind of pull up and make a little peak. So you have a nice looking cookie. Now, these will go in the oven, and you want to put these either on wax paper or a baking sheet, something you want to do a little vegetable spray. And you're going to bake for an hour, and don't open the door. You don't have to look at them. It's very low temperature. You're just basically drying them out. And then you're going to turn the oven off and let them sit in there for at least another hour. Or one of these things, if you're doing this at night, you can actually just leave them in the oven overnight and let them dry out. And at this point now, I mean, you can freeze them, but when they're fully dried out, you can put them in an airtight container, and you've got a nice apricot meringue cookie. Another use for the dried apricots, if you like, is in a pilaf. And I figured we'd do this because, again, you'll see some of the tagines, different items in Near East or Far East cooking that will call for dried apricots. The pilaf would be a nice way to just kind of make a side dish to go with something, a little sweet with the... with this one, we added a little bit of chopped pistachios. You want unsalted ones. You'd want about a quarter cup of diced dried apricot and about 3 tablespoons of chopped pistachios. Again, unsalted ones. Or pine nuts. Toasted pine nuts would be great in this, too. The pignoles. And a quarter teaspoon of coriander seeds. Coriander, of course, is the seeds from the... Otherwise, the fresh one would be called cilantro. So this is the coriander seed. So for the pilaf, 3/4 cup of rice and a cup and a half of stock. And that's that same ratio, 2:1. Although when you cook huge quantities of rice, the proportion drops a little bit. But for small quantity, this is good. You could either have stock or water. If you're using water, don't forget to season it. Put a little bit of salt in there. Rice is going to like the salt. So you start with butter and minced onion, sauté it, and then you add your rice, get it coated with the butter, and then add your stock, bring it to a boil with the dried apricots, and you'll bring it to a simmer, let it cook the 20 minutes till the liquid's absorbed, or bake it in the oven covered if you like, and then at the end stir in the chopped pistachios or toasted pine nuts, and can add a little salt and pepper at the end. And then your coriander seeds, and toss this together. It'd be a nice accompaniment to a pork or a chicken or a lamb dish, a little apricot pilaf.
So fine, so young.
Tell me I'm the only one.
We're up against the quarter hour here, so we're going to break for a couple of messages and continue on with our discussions at the table.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose, in that you're no longer thirsty, and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help.
As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hey, back at the table here. So, what do we do now? The kitchen tools. It's funny that there's a utensils, of course, many of them in the kitchen, and we'll explore those over the course of the next weeks and months, especially if we find a tool that may be a little bit obscure. There's a lot of special tools out there. The only one really, Apple Core, was what crossed my mind, and that seems to be one of those tools that only really has one purpose. Of course, don't just use it for apples. I use it for pears. I probably used it more for pears than for apples, because normally, quite frankly, when we're making, say, an apple pie, or unless you're making apple rings or baked apple, you really just cut the apple in half, lengthwise, you know, through the top there, and then cut it into quarters and take out you've got the quartered apples there, take out the inside, and then just slice away. You can peel it or not peel it. So the core, just what that does, that it's got the point on it. It's kind of a semicircle with jagged edge, and you can drill out the center of the apple and leave the rest of it intact. And for a baked apple or an apple dumpling, I'm sure you've seen those before, where you'll take an apple that's seasoned, some sugar syrup or whatever, and then wrapped in a pastry and baked. And that's, you know, kind of a individual kind of take on an apple pie. But if you want, say you want something without the wheat or without the flour, or you don't have time to make pastry, or you don't want to, whatever reason, you want baked apples. Apples are good all the time, especially fall through winter. They hold up well. The apple core, again, for poaching pears, and I've done stuffed pears also, the core works very well for this. Now what you'll do is, of course, through the stem end, you push it down and try to do it as straight as possible. And you just kind of twist it, turn it around, and then the core will come out. And sometimes you do have a little bit of the seeds and the core left there, so you'll have to scrape a little bit more to get that off of there. But it's a pretty sharp tool. It's, you know, something not to mess around with. You can, that jagged edge can cut pretty, jagged cuts are much worse than a straight edge, so just be careful. Don't leave it around for the kids. It's could be a dangerous toy. But when you're going to do a baked apple, for instance, you want to set your oven at 350 degrees. And for 4 to 6 apples, depending on the size. Now, this is the thing, too, is resist that urge to just grab the Golden Delicious or even the Macintosh. The Macintosh, it's okay. It's a little soft. You want a firmer apple. Now, of course, the Granny Smith, the green apple, people like, especially for pies, if you want that apple texture, that those are nice and firm and tart. You can adjust the sugar as you like. I like Gala apples. I think Rome apples or Cortland. Of course, I'm from New York State. There are, you know, more varieties are available up there. But you try the apple. Get ones that are firmer and a little bit less sweet. Because you're going to add some sugar to these. So you got 4 to 6 apples. You're going to core them. Leave the peel on. Peel's good for you. And you'll need a baking dish. You want the apples to touch. You want to be able to put your 4 or 6 apples in the dish without them touching. And you'll take a packed third cup of brown sugar, a quarter cup of raisins, a quarter cup of chopped walnuts, and, of course, toast these. Again, toasting the nuts brings out some of the oils and the flavors. Zest of a half a lemon, an eighth teaspoon of cinnamon, and about 1.5 tablespoons of unsalted butter, and just cut into little bits. And what we've done sometimes with that is either you could keep it frozen and even grate it on the box grater if you want some nice little pieces of butter, or just chop it up. You're going to dot the butter on each apple anyway, so you'll need 2/3 of a cup of water, or what would be better is cider, and you could use regular apple cider. I suppose you could probably use apple juice in a pinch. You want, you know, something that's going to create a syrup. Hard cider, regular cider, apple juice, water if you like. And then optional at the end, we're going to have a little bit of rum. We'll save that for later. So you'll mix the brown sugar, raisins, walnuts, the zest, and the cinnamon together. And you're going to stuff that hole that you made in each apple with the stuffing. If there's a little bit left, just scatter it in the pan. And then you'll cover the apples. So you're not going to put the butter in the mixture. You're going to dot the butter on top of the mixture. Add the water or the juice or the cider to the pan. And then cover it tightly. And you're going to bake it about 30 minutes at 350 degrees. Then you'll uncover and baste it with some of the syrup. And you'll check it. And the way to do it is just with a little paring knife, if you want to insert down toward the bottom of one apple. And see if it's no resistance going through. You don't want to make them mushy, but you don't want we don't want an al dente apple. You don't want any half cooked in the middle. You want it cooked all the way through without turning mushy. And this is why you need a fairly firm apple to begin with. So it might take 10 minutes more. You can bake uncovered. And then you take them out of the baking dish and take this liquid that's left. And you can make a nice syrup to garnish the apples with. And this is where you could add your rum if you like to. And simmer it for a while. Reduce it so it thickens up a little bit. And just spoon a little bit of that over your baked apples. And of course, now we could serve this with ice cream. Or we could aerate some heavy cream and make some schlag. And have a nice baked apple with our homemade whipped cream. And again, this is something, if you're looking for gluten-free or looking, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm going to cut down on some of the carbs or the starch. An ice-baked apple, simple, but very delicious, good dessert. Of course, making whipped cream, again, you want the cream to be cold. We're going to use our confectioner's sugar and a little bit of flavoring. Normally, vanilla goes in there, although if you want other flavors, extracts in there would be nice. If you want an almond or an orange or a lemon or something like that, but just make sure the cream stays cold. And you'll start whisking, and again, the quicker you do it, the better, so it doesn't turn into butter. And you whip it to the stiff peaks, you know, medium peaks, the consistency that you want, and then store it in the refrigerator till you need it, and serve it with your baked apples or anything else you're doing. All right, so we're going to wrap up another hour at the table here and figure out, next week we'll maybe take letter B and do some exploration with some menu terms, culinary terms, and of course try to give you a couple of representative recipes with that. So stay tuned. In the Isle of Sioux from ShopRite is next. Thanks for listening to 100andchamberradio.com, and hope everybody has a great start to the new year. Chef Bill signing off.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. President Obama is back in Washington following his Hawaiian vacation, and Congress reconvenes tomorrow with the new members being sworn in to give Republicans control over the House and the Senate. The top priority for the GOP is the Keystone XL pipeline. AP correspondent Diane Kepley reports.
Approval of the Keystone XL pipeline is one item that Republican leaders like Senator John Thune believe can produce enough votes to override any potential presidential veto.
It's going to be up to a lot of those Democrats who have expressed support for this in the past.
Thune says he's also open to an increase in the federal gas tax. He was joined on Fox News Sunday by fellow Republican Bob Corker, who says the president's Cuba policy will be questioned.
The first thing we want to do is understand what behavioral change Cuba is willing to make.
And Democratic Senator Bob Menendez tells CNN he believes it will be very difficult to confirm an ambassador to the communist country. Diane Kepley, Washington.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners nationwide are optimistic about 2015, including increased revenue expectations, hiring plans, and business outlook. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report,